This confounder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Jai.
Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai.
Jai.
Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai.
Jai.
Prem Shukaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adwaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai.
Jai.
Shri Shri Radha Krishna Go Gopina Shai Mukunda Radha Kunda Gidi Govardhana Ki Jai.
Jai.
Vrindavan Dhamma Ki Jai. Mathura Dhamma Ki Jai. Navadvip Mayapur Dhamma Ki Jai. Jagannath Puri Dhamma Ki Jai. Gangamaya Jamuna Devi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai. Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees.
Hare Krishna.
All glories to the assembled devotees.
Hare Krishna.
All glories to the assembled devotees.
Hare Krishna.
All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Sri Prabhupada. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane. Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvasesa Srinivadi Paskatya De Satarane Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Vanchakalpa Tribhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyecha Patitanam Pavana Avyo Vaishnavavyo Namo Namaha Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
It's October 19, 2015, Skype class from Hilo, Hawaii on Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 3, Chapter 6, Creation of the Universal Form, Text 39. Ato Bhagavato Maya.
Ato Bhagavato Maya.
Mayina Mapi Mohini.
Mayina Mapi Mohini.
Yat Swayam Chatma Vartmatma.
Yat Swayam Chatma Vartmatma.
Na Veda Kim Utapare. Ata.
Ata.
Therefore.
Therefore.
Bhagavata.
Bhagavata.
Godly.
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 Maya.
Maya.
Potencies.
Potencies.
Mayinam.
Mayinam.
Of the jugglers.
Of the jugglers.
Api.
Api.
Even.
Even.
Mohini.
Mohini.
Enchanting.
Enchanting.
Yet.
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 That which.
That which.
Swayam.
Swayam.
Personally.
Personally.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Atmavartma.
Atmavartma.
Self-sufficient.
Self-sufficient.
Atma.
Atma.
Self.
Self.
Na.
Na.
Does not.
Does not.
Veda.
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 No.
No.
Kim.
Kim.
What?
What?
Uta.
Uta.
To speak of.
To speak of.
Apare.
Apare.
Others. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The wonderful potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is bewildering even to the jugglers. That potential power is unknown even to the self-sufficient Lord, so it is certainly unknown to others. That's interesting. In this translation, Prabhupada says jugglers, and the literal meaning of jugglers is people like in a circus who move balls or scarves in the air. And Prabhupada's talking not about physical jugglers, but mental jugglers. Purport. The frog is philosophers and mundane wranglers in science and mathematical calculation, may not believe in the inconceivable potency of the supreme personality of Godhead, but they are sometimes puzzled by the wonderful jugglery of man and nature. Such jugglers and magicians of the mundane world are actually puzzled by the jugglery of the Lord in his transcendental activities, but they try to adjust their bewilderment by saying that it is all mythology. There is, however, nothing impossible or mythological in the supreme omnipotent person. The most wonderful puzzle for the mundane wranglers is that while they remain calculating the length and breadth of the unlimited potency of the supreme person, his faithful devotees are set free from the bondage of material encagement simply by appreciating the wonderful jugglery of the Lord in the practical field. The devotees of the Lord see the wonderful dexterity in everything with which they come in contact in all circumstances of eating, sleeping, working, etc. A small banyan fruit contains thousands of small seeds, and each seed holds the potency of another tree, which again holds the potency of many millions of such fruits as causes and effects. So the trees and seeds engage the devotees in meditation about the activities of the Lord, while the mundane wranglers waste time in dry speculation and mental concoction, which are fruitless in both this life and the next. In spite of their pride and speculation, they can never appreciate the simple potential activities of the banyan tree. Such speculators are poor souls destined to remain in matter perpetually. Ato bhagavato maya ma inam api mohini yat swayam chatmavartamatma na vedakim uta pare. The wonderful potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is bewildering even to the jugglers. That potential power is unknown even to the self-sufficient Lord, so it is certainly unknown to others. Unknown even to the Lord. So Prabhupada's referencing, of course, a very famous story here about when Narada Muni was traveling on earth and met a Brahmana who said, "Oh, my dear Narada, where are you coming from? Where are you going?" "Oh, I'm coming from Vaikuntha and I'm going back there." "Oh, you'll see Lord Vishnu." "Yes, I'll see Lord Vishnu. Please ask him when I will be liberated," as Prabhupada says here, "set free from the bondage of material engagement." When will I be set free from the bondage of material engagement? "Okay, I'll ask." And then he goes on and he sees a cobbler. Now, this cobbler may not have much meaning to us in the modern world. The cobblers are all working in factories, and most shoes are made by machines. But a cobbler in a more traditional society is hand-making shoes, and shoes, of course, are generally made of leather. Of course, the cobbler got the leather from the animals after the animal's natural death, not like today when the leather is a byproduct or an intentional product of the slaughterhouse industry. So even so, working with leather from naturally dying animals is still considered unclean. It's an unclean product. And the cobbler is not supposed to be a very learned person in society, unlike a Brahmana, who is a great scientist and philosopher. And the cobbler asked the same question of Narada. So Narada, when he was in Vaikuntha, he asked Lord Vishnu, he said, "Oh, I saw a Brahmana, a great intellectual, and I saw a shoemaker on the earth. They both wanted to know when they will be free from the encagement of the material world." And Lord Vishnu said, "The shoemaker, this is his last life. He's coming back to Godhead. He's attaining ultimate liberation, Vaikuntha, at the end of this life. And the Brahmana, I don't know when he's coming. As many leaves as there are on a tree of lifetimes. But I don't even know when he's coming." As Prabhupada says in the end, destined to remain in matter perpetually. There's no known end. And Narada was a little surprised. You know, the Brahmana is doing all the rituals. He's worshiping you. He's very clean. He's a priest, a philosopher, an intellectual. And the shoemaker, he's doing unclean work and he's not very educated. How is it? And the Lord said, "Well, just tell them that I was putting an elephant through the eye of a needle when you saw me." And Narada's like, "Well, why should I tell them that?" "Oh, you'll see." So this is the Lord's playfulness. Even the Lord is Vishnu. He's very young, Navayovanam cha, and he's very playful. So Narada comes back to the earth, and he sees the Brahmana, and the Brahmana, "Oh, Narada, 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 did you see the Lord?" "Yes, I saw the Lord." "So, when will I get my liberation?" And Narada said, "Well, the Lord says he doesn't know He said it may be as many lifetimes as there are leaves on a tree, that your liberation is not yet known. And the Brahmin says, what is this? I'm spending my whole life worshiping the Lord. How is it that it's not yet known? No, you never saw Vishnu. You're just making it up. This is what we often do, right? When someone gives an answer that we don't like, we denigrate the person or something. And he said, if you really saw Lord Vishnu, tell me what he was doing. And Narada said, oh, he was putting an elephant through the eye of a needle. And the Brahmin says, ha, all mythology. This is all just myth. You're not really going to Vaikuntha. You're just making the whole thing up. And then as Narada went on to the cobbler, and the cobbler said, oh, Narada, did you see my Lord? And the first thing he asked is not when will I become free, but what was my Lord doing? And Narada said, oh, he was putting an elephant through the eye of a needle. And the cobbler started dancing. Oh, what a wonderful Lord. And Narada was surprised. He said, you believe me? He said, well, why not? He said, I'm sitting under this banyan tree making shoes, and the seeds from the banyan tree fall down, and in each seed, each tiny little seed, there is the potentiality of another huge tree with many, many millions of seeds. So if the Lord can put millions and billions of potential seeds and potential trees inside of this one seed, why can't he put an elephant in the eye of a needle? And then Narada said, well, yes, the Lord said that this is your last life in this world. And Prabhupada, in commenting on this story, often talks about how the devotee's faith is not blind, that the devotee's faith in the Lord's potencies are based on his actual experience. So this is such a wonderful, wonderful purport. And if we go through this purport, it's just astonishing. First of all, Prabhupada says how the mundane wranglers and mundane jugglers, the magicians, right? They really seem like magicians, don't they? The ones who make the mobile phones and the send up satellites into outer space, all these amazing magical things. You know, I remember when I first ordered a book from Amazon for my electronic reader, my Kindle reader, and I just, you know, pressed one button on my reader, and then literally 2 seconds later, I had the book in my hand. You know, it was Prapti City. There I was, a mystic yogi with Prapti City. So they're magicians. Prabhupada liked to talk about his godbrother, his German godbrother, who was a scientist and who said that the mystic cities have been done by modern technology. And I know one devotee who says that probably I really like technology because I miss all the mystic powers that I used to have in my previous lives. So they're magicians, right? Amazing, amazing things, right? You put a paper in a fax machine and someone else gets it on the other side of the earth, right? You send a document, someone else gets it the other side of the earth. Amazing. Even this Skype conversation, such magic. Who would have believed, right? I mean, who would have believed? Our parents, our grandparents, they would have said, oh, that's all mythology. So the mundane scientists, they're saying that, oh, look at this wonderful things we can do in nature. But then when they hear about the wonderful activities of God directly, when they hear about the wonderful activities of Bhagavan, they say, oh, it's all mythology. When they hear that Krishna lifted a mountain, when they hear that Krishna's riding through outer space on a great eagle. And I was just reading in Gopal Champu when Indra and the demigods come to see Krishna and Dwarka and complain that Bhomasura has taken their jewelry. So Indra says to Krishna, you should ride on Garuda to conquer this demon. And Krishna says, well, I'm just a human. Why would I ride on Vishnu's eagle? And Indra says, no, you should do this. And as he's riding on Garuda, he manifests another two arms, which Satyabhama, who's riding with him, when she sees them, she starts laughing and covers her face. And they're riding on this ego with this great battle, right? Or killing these mystical demons that can transform into snakes and transform into, you know, calves and bulls and become 12 miles long. And the scientists say, oh, this is all mythology. So they're enchanted by the magic and the wonder of nature. And they themselves do magic with nature. They, as a little teeny tiny jiva, as a little spark of the divine, as an insignificant ant-like human on this insignificant planet in this insignificant universe, they do all kinds of incredible, incredible magic, and that they don't even understand. Right? We said before how the modern medicine, often they don't understand why a particular medicine cures a disease or cures a disease's symptoms. They often don't know the action. So they do magic that they themselves don't understand. They don't even understand what electricity is. Is it particles? Is it waves? How does it work? Although they're using it. And yet they want to deny the magic and the wonder and the potencies of the Lord. Although that's mythology. If the part is capable of such magic, what to speak of the whole? So even the Lord, it says in today's verse, doesn't know his full potential power. We have Kardama Muni, who created the aerial mansion and was surprised at his own power. I'm sure we all have that experience. We all have the experience where we create something and we become astonished at our own creation. Wow, how did I do that? What to speak of the automatic bodily creations? How are we producing hair and fingernails? You know, how does the woman produce the child in the womb? Perhaps the most amazing magic. You know, how does she produce milk? I mean, we don't even know how we're doing this. So the Lord, and it's wonderful for us. We enjoy that. That's the Adbhuta Rasa. We enjoy that. We paint something, we write something, we build something, and we look at what we've built. Wow, how did I do that? That's amazing. I didn't know I could do that. So Krishna is also like that. He also enjoys this feeling of wonder and surprise at his own potencies and his own creation. His all-knowingness does not negate his rasa of this wonder and this surprise. And Prabhupada says here that the devotees, they're not trying to figure everything out in the mood of the scientists, that we're going to analyze. Of course, devotees can be scientists. Scientists can be devotees. But we're talking about using empirical science in a non-devotional mood. They're not trying to do that. They're not trying to take the Lord and analyze him mathematically, chemically, through the laws of physics and so forth, to try to reduce him to some kind of a formula. What a nasty thing. I mean, wow. Suppose somebody did that with us. The behaviorists, the soft scientists, they do try to do that. They try to take, we could talk about this, the debate between the hard and the soft sciences, how the soft scientists often try to proclaim that their methods are just as scientific as an empirical as the hard scientists. And they study human behavior and try to reduce us to some kind of a machine. That is their philosophy, isn't it? That we are simply machines and we operate according to a set of particular behavioral laws of stimulus and response. And it may be interesting, but we wouldn't want a personal relationship like that. We wouldn't want a relationship with a person who's analyzing our behavior according to physical laws. In fact, that is so annoying, isn't it? Well, I know why you did that. You did that because your mother did such and such, you know, and we're just completely annoyed. So no, we just want a relationship of rasa with another person. And this is also what Krishna wants. And when the devotee engages in this relationship, an exchange of love with the Lord, then they become free of the material engagement, as Prabhupada is saying here. The faithful devotees are set free from the bondage of material engagement simply by appreciating the wonderful jugglery of the Supreme in the practical field. So here Srila Prabhupada's not even talking about the Lord's divine lila in Goloka. He's talking about the Lord's lila in this world. After all, this is a chapter of the universal form. The Lord's lila as the Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, Kshiradakshay Vishnu, that lila of the Lord. Just appreciating that lila with appreciation, right? Appreciation with affection, with adbhuta, with wonder, with all of the different feelings, with emotions, with love. Wow. You know, just like we do in our normal everyday life with other people. You know, even if it's some very small thing. If we love somebody, there's no small thing. We don't appreciate the small things less. Right? If somebody that we love makes a wonderful food preparation, we don't appreciate that less than if they get a job that pays $1 million a year. Right? We can be equally enthusiastic because we love them. The small things, everything's full of wonder and appreciation. Such is the one of the basis of love. So Srila Prabhupada says here, he's talking a lot about the banyan tree, but he says the devotees of the Lord see the wonderful dexterity. It's interesting, Prabhupada talks about wranglers, jugglery, dexterity, that the Lord is also a juggler. The wonderful dexterity in everything with which they come in contact, in all circumstances of eating, sleeping, working, etc. So it's such fascinating that Prabhupada's saying we can get free from the material nature just by appreciating the Lord in this world and the wonderful dexterity in everything with which they come in contact in all circumstances of eating, sleeping, working, etc. So everything one eats in one's, I mean sleeping. How often do we appreciate the Lord in our sleeping? How there's this automatic, you have these self-cleaning ovens. You press a button and they get on extra hot and they burn off all the baked-on stuff and then you just kind of brush it off. So we have a self-cleaning body that once every day, the body goes in, and it goes into it naturally. It's very difficult to resist it. You know, you can fast from food and you can fast from water with some self-control, but fasting from sleep is pretty hard. You can fast from sleep for a while, but eventually you'll simply fall asleep. And you'll fall asleep even walking and talking, and, you know, there's soldiers on a forced march who fall asleep while walking. So the amazing sleeping, that the body and mind goes into a cleaning and sorting mode. You know, you may refuse to clean your house periodically, but the body and mind have to get cleaned. The mind has, most sleep is for the mind. The body needs about 1.5 to 2 hours of sleep per day for its cleaning. And the mind is what needs all of the sleep, which is perhaps one reason why the great liberated souls sleep between like 1 to 3 hours a night, because they don't need any sleep for the mind. They're liberated from the subtle body. But how amazing, this Lord's system. You know, the heartbeat goes down, breathing goes down, temperature goes down. You ever thought about that? How we're in a room comfortable in short sleeves, but if we sleep in that room, then we want to have a blanket with which we would feel very uncomfortable while awake. So the temperature goes down, everything slows down. Right, all of the active activities and the digestion is cleaned, right? All of the toxins are removed from the body. Hard to do that while you're active. Just like when you're cleaning your room, that's what you're doing. You're not doing other things in your room at the same time that you're cleaning. So our body also, in order to clean, it needs to become inactive. And then the mind, through the dreams, it's sorting through everything that we learn during the day, all of our experiences, relating it to other experiences in this life, relating it fractionally to other experiences, even in previous lives, making sense of everything. There's a lot of research that if you sleep right after you learn something new, you'll remember it better, because the brain is sorting it out, making sense out of things. Also, dreams can be used to experience karma, says in the fourth canto, that sometimes the devotees will experience karma in the form of dreams rather than actually experiencing them in the gross body. So what an amazing, amazing jugglery of the Lord, that he's made bodies which can function in that way through this sleep cycle. And of course, in our working, we have our work that should be dedicated to the Lord through the whole science of Varna. But everything that we're working with, our abilities to move our body, to function with our mind, to move matter. All of these abilities are Krishna. Our intelligence is Krishna. The different items we work with, Agnir Mahiga Ganamambhu Dishashta Kalastatva Manasi Tijagatrayami, Yas Mad Bhavanti Vibhavanti Bhishanti Yamcha Govinda Manipurusham Tam Mahamajami, Bhumira Panalovayu Kamano Buddha. So all of these things we're working with, these are all Krishna's energies. And as Krishna's energies, in one sense, they are not different from Krishna. Therefore, we're simply working with Krishna. And this is something to be conscious of. And wow, how amazing this energy is. How amazing the mind is. How amazing the intelligence is. How amazing matter is. Right? Gross matter. It's solid matter. And I mean, just the other day, we had one devotee is working here doing some renovation in the house. And he moved a window over 1 foot. I mean, he removed the frame from the wall, and then he made another frame a foot down the wall. I didn't even know you could do that. The window isn't like something that you just kind of push, and it moves down the wall. And he did it in about 3 hours, and people came, looked at the room. I said, what happened here? And they, look, what? Nothing happened. No, something happened. So it's amazing, just in our working, that we have the ability to do these kind of things. We have how we're cooking, how the food is cooking, and how you can take various things and combine them in so many ways. Right? So amazing. I was just reading an article about the brain and how the neurons in the brain mutate. And because of that, those mutations, even if identical twins have their brains are studied, their brains will develop differently according to their own personality. That no two brains develop in exactly the same way, even if you have a clone of somebody else. And how incredible that is. The amazing workings of our body, how you have the gallbladder and the spleen and the pancreas and the stomach and all putting in exactly the right amount of chemicals. And just absolutely stupendous. And the little insects walking around. I mean, anything in our working day, all the things we see around us, just marvelous. Bhaktiswarupa Damodar Maharaj wrote a book about seeing the Lord in matter. And one can go on in any sphere. There's also some devotees recently made that book, Nature's IQ, about how do animals have their knowledge to do things. We studied about the monarch butterfly and how the fourth generation is the only one that migrates. The first three generations don't migrate. The fourth generation migrates a very long distance and knows exactly where to go, how to get there. How is that possible? How is that possible? They can't have learned it from their parents or grandparents because they themselves didn't migrate. Or just the fact of a caterpillar turning into a moth or a butterfly. Who can imagine such a thing? And the caterpillar makes this cocoon, and then the whole body turns into liquid and reforms into an entirely new kind of body, which doesn't bear any resemblance to the original body. Reincarnation in the same lifetime. How incredible. Or the animals like frogs that can sometimes hibernate successfully for thousands of years. How is this possible? Our own, and everything we eat, which is just a transformation of sunlight and water. Sunlight, water, and some earth minerals can transform into all kinds of things. Tomatoes and peppers and carrots and then of course the grass which the cow eats and turns into milk. And one can take these things, wheat and rice, which are all just sunlight and water and earth minerals, and how are they so different from each other? Well, rice is very different from wheat, which is very different from a pepper. How is that possible? I mean, if you gave to any ordinary person three ingredients and make all these things, and then you can further, and then as we've said before, kinds, so many kinds of rice. There's basmati rice, there's jasmine rice, there's sticky rice, there's So many kinds, dozens of kinds of rice, many occurring naturally, many that can be bred. Right? Krishna and Balaram learned how to breed the plants. And then you can take those things and not just eat them raw, but you can cook them and combine them in various ways. Even raw, even people who eat raw food, they're not just picking the food off the tree usually and eating it raw, but they're taking them and they have all these raw food recipes, right? You can make all these amazing things. And how is it that Krishna's done that? How has Krishna provided that? All the different kinds of creatures, the different beautiful birds, all the multicolors of the birds and their amazing feathers and how they spread out and how the animals can make themselves look bigger than they actually are. The abilities of humans even to regulate machines and all the magic that we're enamored of in modern science. As Prabhupada says in the story of Krishna fighting with Jambavan, that we're enamored by the brains of the scientists, but not who made the brains of the scientists. And gosh, we're just humans in Kali Yuga. So humans in other yugas, they had far more powers than we have. Right? I was saying the other day to a devotee, you know, people who are saying, we all have to be very Vedic. You know, all of us should just be Vedic. And I said, well, if you're so Vedic, stop communicating with computers. Just use your mystic powers, you know, your Brahminical powers, and you'll be really Vedic. So in Vedic times, right, in former times, I mean, even we go back to Krishna's appearance 5,000 years ago, the concept of shape-changing wizards was just commonly accepted. You know, evil wizards who could turn themselves into snakes and bulls and horses was very commonly accepted by the people, and such ideas remain in what we call our fairy tales and our folk tales throughout the world. That's not that long ago, 5,000 years. Most of our modern society doesn't know much of history past 2,000 years. But that was not that long ago on the earth. People had such power. You know, I was just reading about Asvatthama, who could create an atomic bomb just with mantras. And what to speak of the human beings in Satya Yuga, that was just the end of Dwapara Yuga. What to speak of the human beings in Satya Yuga, how much natural power and magic that they must have had. And still, it's just human beings. What to speak of the great demigods on other planets, the siddhas who can travel in space. I mean, just the wonders of this world are beyond comprehension. I mean, we could talk about them until the end of time. One could talk about until the end of time just the glories of, you know, one species of birds, practically speaking. Unbelievable. You know, the intricacies of nature on this one planet in Kali Yuga are beyond description. One will never come to the end. So what to speak of the glories of the Lord? It says that he himself, in form of Ananta Sesha, with thousands of mouths, has been describing them and never ever comes to an end. So if we just do this, if we simply become aware, if we choose to think about, if we choose to be conscious of the wonders of nature, of the wonders of our own eating, of the wonders of our own sleeping, of the wonders of our own working, in relation to the Lord. The scientists who study the wonders of these things and then deny the Lord, they stay in matter perpetually. They stay in matter until they stop doing that. And if they keep doing that, then they just stay. There's no automatic liberation. But one who sees those very same wonders, and instead of trying to dissect them in a mechanical way, separate from the Lord, and while seeing the wonders of the world, deny the wonders of the world maker. How ludicrous. So those who see the wonders of the world, the wonders of their own body, the wonders of their own mind, and who deepen their appreciation and affection for the wonder maker, for the source of wonder, for the source of dexterity, for the source of jugglery, they become liberated. They become free of the material world. And of course, interestingly enough, when one becomes liberated even in this life, as one grows in consciousness in this life, that one understands the wonders of the world even better. the scientists are so much wanting to increase their knowledge simply through mechanical means without the grace of God. And the result is that they get more and more covered and understand less and less and less. And they create more problems than they solve. But when one understands the wonders of the world in relationship to the wonder maker, to the source of all wonder, one's consciousness becomes cleared, and one sees things more and more and more how they are. One sees the interconnectedness of everything. One sees the plan behind everything. One sees the playfulness and the good in everything, not from a mundane perspective, but from an ultimate perspective. And one's life becomes full of joy, even in this world, because one sees the world as connected with Krishna. One sees the hand of the Lord everywhere in the world, the hand, the mind, the love, the playfulness, the youthfulness, the exuberance of the Lord, the laughter of the Lord. Lord Kapiladeva says one should meditate on the laughter of Lord Vishnu for a very, very long time. And, I mean, well, how funny. These beautiful birds who have no way to appreciate their own beauty, they don't even have a sense of their own existence like that. You know, there's only a few creatures that will learn after some time to recognize that they're seeing themselves in a mirror. Most creatures, if they see a mirror, will think it's another creature. So you have these beautiful birds, you know, so many varieties of gorgeous, gorgeous birds. In our farm in Brazil, there were these toucans that would come right up to the porch, up to the deck, and eat. It's so lovely. But if you show them a mirror, they can't appreciate how beautiful they are. How Krishna must be laughing. How Krishna must be laughing. Aha, you wanted to be beautiful. You had the desire to be beautiful. You had the desire to be decked out in the latest fashion. Talking to a girl like this the other day. She says, oh, I love to be fashionable. But if you're sinful, if you're very sinful, you get to be fashionable, but you don't get to appreciate that you're fashionable. Right? You don't get to even look at yourself in the mirror. How ironic is this wonderful Lord. So those of us, we appreciate like that. Then we become liberated. Why do we become liberated? Just by that appreciation, just by that affection? Because it's the lack of appreciation and affection that causes our entanglement in the first place. The only way that we can think that we are the masters of matter, and that we are the masters of the Lord, is to cut off or to deny or to refuse to see our natural and original affection, appreciation, and wonder of Krishna. Right? Just like in any human relationship. So some man and woman, they're looking at each other with wonder. They appreciate everything. You know, exactly how the curve of her chin, you know, everything about the other is just adorable. Even the person's not so nice habits are full of affection. Right? But when you start to dislike the other person, you don't see those things anymore. You know, they go through some bitter divorce, and then whenever they look at each other, all they see is negativity. Oh, well, what about the curve of her chin that charmed you? What curve of her? I don't see any. You know, they don't see it anymore. Or the parents looking at the child. We have a two-year-old here, and he basically needs a bath after every meal because he not only puts the food in his mouth, but he puts it all over his legs and his stomach and so forth. And for all of us, it's charming because we love him. We have affection for him. And so he's charming. But to someone who didn't have affection with him, they would just say, ooh, get that dirty baby out of here. So it's our lack of affection for Krishna is actually necessary if we want to try to imagine ourselves as the Lord. And as soon as we start to revive that affection, then immediately we start becoming liberated, and our liberation, janma karma cha me divyam eva myo veti tat pita takta deham punar janma naiti mam eti sorjuna. That Krishna is not talking there about theoretical and intellectual. Maya shaktam mana partha. He's talking about with a shakti, with affection, with wonder, to see the wonderful dexterity, as Prabhupada says here. So doing this is not hard. Anybody can do this. A little child can do this. Anybody. Anybody can meditate on everybody, anybody, all of us. The wonders of even our life in the world and appreciating the wonder maker. And of course, in the Vaishnav tradition, particularly in the Gaudiya Vaishnav tradition, we have information not only of the Lord in this world, but the Lord in his eternal abode, the Lord when he comes to this world. But appreciating the Lord in this world is a very good start, because our consciousness tends to be rooted in the things of this world anyway. So because we're thinking of them anyway, we're thinking about our eating, you know, dinner's late, I'm hungry, we're thinking about our sleeping, do I have a comfortable bed, can I go to sleep now, we're thinking about our working, we're thinking about these things anyway. So if we connect them with the Lord, with whom they are already connected, and we connect them with the Lord in affection, then we will easily transition to meditating on the Lord in his eternal future. So, questions, comments?
I think it's expression of our love. If we have it, if we have any love for Krishna, that's what it translates in appreciation of everything. Anyway, thank you. Anyone has anything?
It would make a great children's book, The Wonders of Krishna.
Yes, well, we have a little children's book like that already in the Dr. Best Man to Read. It's one of the early books. But it's a very beginning book for very young children, 3-4 years old.
You made it?
Yes.
Nice. What's the title?
Krishna is.
Krishna is.
Oh, okay.
That's like Krishna is the sea, Krishna is the sun, Krishna is the moon, Krishna is the water, Krishna is the sun, Krishna is the sun. Krishna is the friend,
Krishna is the Lord.
Nice.
And each one illustrated.
Nice.
We should do this. In fact, one of my desires, which I'm not working on at all at the present, is to create a science, Krishna conscious science curriculum. Of course, we have the book that the devotees did, Nature's IQ, which would be suitable for high schoolers and above, and they have a movie to go along with it.
You know, what to speak of Krishna's internal energy, which is so amazing. When we look at Krishna's external energy, you know, every aspect, as you were saying, every aspect is absolutely amazing, whether we're looking at a cell or a universe. Then I was thinking, the question crossed my mind, well, what can we find anything that isn't absolutely amazing?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I mean, even the fact that the Lord takes nasty things and turns them into nice things. You know, the best fertilizer is stool and urine. I mean, it's just, how amazing is that? You know, the bodies rot and become soil, which is the basis for new life.
And all the suffering in this world purifies the conditioned soul. It's all in his interest.
Yes, and it's all perfectly balanced and fair. All the suffering is really just to put things back in balance and create fairness. On that note, it's quite interesting. Generally, when people say it's not fair, they mean I'm not getting what I want. And then generally, it's not fair means let me pull down those who have more than me. It's just envy. Generally, when people say it's not fair, they're not trying to pull up those who have less. They're trying to pull down those who have more. But yeah, karma is all about fairness and balance and equanimity and harmony. Which is all, and karma. I mean, if you want to get into karma, that's more wondrous than any, you know, tree or lizard or cell, or that's amazing. How do all the billions of living entities each get their personal reaction and have it all coordinated with everyone else's personal reaction. How does it all get coordinated? I mean, I used to give the example when I ran a one-room schoolhouse, you know, and I had up to 30 kids who were at 30 different levels. I mean, right now I'm homeschooling some of my grandkids, so I'm coordinating six kids at six levels. But 30 kids at 30 levels, you know, it was hard. I had to have a whole system to do it. And if I forgot to write things down, it wouldn't work. You know, it was not easy. And every once in a while, the kids wouldn't do something and they would hope I wouldn't notice, you know. And sometimes you didn't notice. It would fall through the cracks. And so that was just 30 kids, and that was just a few hours a day. And then afterwards, I'd have to take a nap because my brain was so tired, it couldn't do anything else for a couple hours. So Krishna's coordinating the karma of billions and billions and billions of living entities. You know, bringing together exactly the right people, exactly at the right time. And unbelievable. It's just beyond any kind of comprehension. And it's time to the second. You know, where the millionth of a second. I like to tell this story. I was driving from North Carolina to Atlanta, Georgia, 6-hour drive, and maybe an hour before my destination, it was getting a little bit dark. I was on on the major highway, and there were no other cars on my side of the road. There was one car coming from the opposite direction, and as it came from the opposite direction, it bounced over the median, and it went over my lane. I missed it by just a yard. Had I been 1 yard further, then that car would have crashed into the driver's side of the car, of my car. And we were going fast, you know, like 70 miles an hour. And that would have been the end of this time around for me, or, you know, I would have been severely injured. It was just a yard difference. And, you know, 70 miles an hour, how fast are you driving a yard? We're talking about a fraction of a second. What was even more interesting was it kind of bounced on the road and into a very dense wooded area. So as I was the only other car on the road, I was the only one who saw what happened. And I pulled off at the next exit and I called the police and told them that there was a car in the woods. Had I not been there, the driver of that car, I mean, I never did find out what happened, but had I not been there, nobody would have found that car for a very, very long time. So these split-second kind of things, or the time when you decide at the spur of the moment, well, I think I'm going to stop in that store that I've never been to before, and you stop in that store and you meet somebody there, or because you delayed for 10 minutes by stopping in the store, you meet somebody later, and that person opens you up to a new business opportunity, or that person ends up to be who you marry, and your whole life changes because you stopped in the store for 10 minutes. So this... how does he do that? And you look back at it and say, was that my decision to stop? Was I influenced by Krishna? You know, what's going on in this world anyway? What is this amazing world? And how does he do that? Well, what to speak of the internal energy. Beyond my comprehension, the internal energy. Anybody else?
You're all speechless.
Okay, everybody's in a buta rasa.
When we're saying what to speak of the internal, those, you know, what we're doing, I mean, theoretically as devotees, if we, you know, pretty much are devoting ourselves to this process of purification wholeheartedly, then what's happening to us and our impact upon others is not karmic. And I was thinking that the other day I went to, my iPhone died, so I had to get a temporary phone to just kind of hold me over until they mailed me a new phone. And I went to Target, and the guy that sold me a phone was a pleasant guy, and I gave him, I invited him to one of our programs, and talked to him, preached to him a little bit, gave him a book, and he called me up like just a few days later and said he couldn't wait till the program. This was so much what he was looking for. So he came over, him and his wife. I spent a lot of time, we spent a lot of time speaking together. And then he kept coming, and then recently he came and they were ready for beads. So we gave them both beads. And now they're chanting Japa. Anyway, it's just, you know, such an insignificant thing that it's just so beyond karma that we have to think that wherever we're going, that Krishna may have some plan for us. It's nice to always have a book, have a card, have something to give someone so they're always prepared for whatever Krishna's plan is, using us as an instrument in this amazing Sankirtan Lila.
That's a very good point. Many, many years ago, I had to buy office dividers for our Gurukul. I was buying used ones. And I called a bunch of places, and two places had them. One was very far away, 45-minute drive. And somehow I went there first, and I don't know why I wasn't wearing a sari, because I usually go out in sari and tilak, but for some reason I wasn't. And as I was getting in the car to go, it was very clear, bring books. And I thought, why am I thinking that? I have books in the car. I always bring books with me. Bring books. It was like louder and louder, and it was just, you know, I already have books in the car. So I didn't do it. And I got there, and I said, so I've come to see your office dividers. And he said, we don't have any office dividers. I said, well, I just talked to you an hour ago, and you said you had them, and you had them this size. And he said, I don't know who you talked to. I'm the only one here. And I said, I called this number. And he said, yeah, that's our number. And I got this address. Yeah, that's our address. And then he looked at me, and he said, are you a Hare Krishna? And I said, yeah. And he said, you know, I went to your temple 10 years ago, and then I kind of fell away. And he said, just this last few days, I've been thinking that I wanted to find you guys again and wanted to find out more. And I said, oh, let me get your book. And I went to the car, and of course, I was all out of books.
Yeah.
You know, and all I had was a mantra card, which I gave him. But I thought, now, you know, I thought Krishna sent me all the way up here just to give this guy a book, and they didn't even have one to give him. So, yeah, Krishna uses us like that, puts us in the right place at the right time, with the right people. And again, how does he do that? You know, I've had it happen by having a plane get canceled and being put on another plane or being moved over there. And you just see how your life is being arranged by some, you know, mastermind of intelligence. Okay, anybody else? Otherwise, we can stop here.
Very nice class, Mother in Law. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada.
See you on Friday.
And,